Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the Score and not just kidding.
Afternoons on the Score.
Second and nine, rolling towards 1 minute to go in quarter one. Now it's a pump, but he ran out of time. Couldn't run away from Sweat. Byron Cowart, loss of two.
He demands attention, right? You know, so that helps free up the other rushers. And that's so important to be able to do that, to have a guy like that. When you can have two, it's even better, you know, and that's what we're searching to do here coming forward. But it's important that you don't have to cover as long. The pressure's there. And what's great about Tez is that he's a great run player, too. You know, so he understands that stopping the run gets you favorable down at distances so we can rush the passer. And, you know, he's always done that well.
My favorite DMX song of all time.
Right here?
Yeah. This will put me on 10. Like, on 10.
Did you tell Tanny or does he just know?
He just knows.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
The track is called Stop Being Greedy.
Mm.
And it is, it's... Like, as far as, like, motivation, like, if you needed a heavy lift day or if you were trying to express yourself physically.
Sure.
Yeah, this is what I hear in my head.
I got you.
I'm in those moments.
I got a playlist of stuff like that to get me going for, like, you know, if I'm riding a bike or I'm going down to work out.
Yeah.
This is probably my favorite DMX song also, like, because this is, like, right when he... first blew up, and like a lot of the commercial radio was playing Get At Me Dog, but this is like, I think this might have been the B-side, but this is the side that we were playing on the college stations.
Yeah, and that song, like, he's so angry in that song, and I love it.
Because he wants you to stop being greedy.
He very much wants you to stop being greedy.
And Speaks, your playlist is all Milli Vanilli, right?
Most of it. Thank you. Just like the Menendez brothers.
Sure.
That's the way I rock.
Every time I see one of those like promos, I'm like, uh-huh. Is this the night that we get to see Young Speaks?
I'm still not in there. I'm seven episodes in. Haven't seen myself or anyone that's approximating me in any of the youth tennis scenes. But Stop Being Greedy might be what you would say to Ryan Poles if he were to go out and trade, say, I don't know, a fourth round pick for Hassan Reddick or a fifth round pick. For Hassan Reddick. So, I mean, and that is a specific guy that causes a problem and demands some conversation. And I know, but is this even a year where the Bears should be considering mid-season being aggressive at the deadline? Ryan Poles has done this before.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
No, I asked you something.
I'm going to answer your question. I said good day, sir. I'm going to ask you a question in response to your question that may change the way you feel about the question.
All right. Well, we might never get anywhere. We're just doing that.
It's possible, but it's a talk show.
All right. Let's give it a shot.
Do you think that through six games,
The
Bears have surprised themselves with where they are from a record standpoint? Because that might change the way they look at the trade deadline. Like, are they sitting there going, you know what? This is happening faster than we thought. We're a little bit better than what we thought we might be. Perhaps there's an opportunity here.
I, unsurprisingly, have a question to ask you based on that. Can we reframe that in terms of have they surprised themselves with both the record and the quality of play? Because if you make a trade or if you think you are better than expected, that ought to be based not just on the fact that you've gotten those wins. It ought to be based on the fact that you've shown a certain kind of progress and you have a certain amount of belief in your team. So it's just a slight augmentation to your question.
When I look at the Bears, we kind of knew that the defense was going to be good. Maybe top five good. They've been that.
Yeah.
The thing that you didn't know was, what's up with the quarterback?
How quickly was he going to be
there? How quickly can he get on board? If you are looking at it from a power ranking standpoint right now in the NFC, the Bears are in the top 10 on that list, right?
In the power rankings?
Yeah.
In the NFC? Top 10 in the NFC.
Top 10 in the NFC.
For
probably
sure.
Top 6 in the NFC. Maybe top 5 in the NFC.
I from a power ranking standpoint, they're top 15 in the NFL.
Okay.
Top 17 at worst in the NFL.
Okay. So that puts you squarely into the we're contenders. Yeah. For what? I don't know. But it's a one-game sample when we're talking about the playoffs in the NFL. Wacky things happen.
Yeah.
Bounce goes your way. If you think that you're in a similar spot to what the Texans were last year, if you think that enough progress has been made, don't you owe it to yourself to take the next step?
You think the Texans wish they had made a deal for Danielle Hunter or somebody like that to help them possibly win a second playoff game? And then who knows what happens after that? Yeah. I'm feeling cautious myself.
That's okay.
That's where I am.
That is a completely valid feeling about this year's Bears team.
I'm thrilled with where they are. I feel great about where they are. I would like to see how far they can go. And I also want to see a little room for some of these young players to keep producing. I don't feel the need to try and perfect the roster by mortgaging tomorrow right now.
I don't know if you'd have to do a lot of mortgaging considering it's the NFL and these types of trades aren't the mortgage type, but you could augment a little bit. But the reason why your feeling is completely valid is because 6 of the last 8 weeks is when you're going to play all of your games in the division. And you don't know kind of where you're at in regards to it. That being said, when I look at the Bears, I do think that they need another person to rush the passer. I don't, on paper, Hassan Reddick would be ideal, but I've got concerns. I've got concerns on the compensation aspect of it. I've got concerns about why he was so okay with not playing, incurring the fines, and maybe he didn't like the vibe over there at the Jets and didn't want to be a part of anything that was going on with the Jets, which may turn out to be the right move. But if I were him right now, seeing that the Jets are seemingly pushing all in, I would be inclined to go, all right, let's see if I can be the difference maker to get us over the hump. There's so many unanswered questions about Reddick other than the tape. Like, I know the guy can play, but there's so many other unanswered questions that I would be very risk averse if I were Ryan Poles in trying to bring him in.
There is this other wrinkle into the Hassan Reddick situation. Josina Anderson had tweeted this the other day that the Eagles get a 2026 second round pick from the Jets if Hassan Reddick gets traded to an NFC team, per multiple sources. So that's the other condition, Josina tweeted, involved in the trade for Reddick to the Jets that was newly reported a couple of weeks ago. So that's a big deal. So the Eagles, if the Jets give up on Reddick and trade him back to the NFC, the conditional draft pick becomes a second rounder. Unlikely that the Jets will do that. That means the Lions and the Bears might, you know, have a very hard time getting that to happen.
Might be worth it for the Lions. Aiden Hutchinson's gone. Like, he's gone. Might be worth it for them.
So, but they'd have to give some kind of compensation to the Jets to make up for the Jets having to give up their pick. So the Lions could give up their second round pick, you're saying, to the Jets. So then the Jets could swallow the cost of their own second round pick.
But if I'm any contender, I'm sniffing around Las Vegas.
For Max Crosby?
Oh, yeah.
No, I wouldn't sniff around Las Vegas without protection.
That's a good point by you.
What parts?
That's a good point.
We're going to get a chance. Oh,
yeah,
man.
We go to Circa next month.
Danny, make sure you cut that so we can use that in advance of the Vegas trip.
I don't have the endorsement anymore anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's sad.
Love Circa. Looking forward to getting back out there and have a good time.
This is going
to
be great.
I had a good run, by the way. I played at the D. Went over to the D.
What'd you play?
I played, I had this incredible craps moment.
Man.
The first time I went, there was the big like meeting of all of the people that were there for the super contest, and I snuck downstairs and played like 20 minutes of blackjack and walked like 400.
Woo.
Then speaks as someone who plays.
I don't play much craps,
but you play poker.
I do.
So you understand like a hot run. I got to this craps table. It was a Friday afternoon. We had finished the show, Now, I enjoy craps. Like, I'm not a great craps player. I like to play and learn. Like, that, it's worth, like, a $200 investment on a $10 table for me to learn how to play craps better.
It's a good way to think about it.
And I'm looking at this table, and everyone at the table is having a blast. And that's the type of thing that you want. All right, so the D is a sister property of Circa, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, and craps is a communal gambling experience.
So I get there, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to see what's going on. They're doing crazy stuff.
It's group gambling.
And it's crazy. Like, it's way beyond, like, what I usually do from a risk standpoint. They're throwing on hard sixes and hard eights, and we're doing all this stuff, and everyone is pressuring the bets and all of this stuff, and it starts to hit. Everyone at the table is getting rich. It was the most fun I've ever had playing craps. And even if we had lost as a table, it would have still been that fun because of the communal aspect of it. At the end of this thing, like, this guy that was rolling, I think he got off 32 rolls without crapping out.
That's insane.
And we are hitting the hard ways. And we are, like, it. Money is just flying across the table.
This is when the casino boss, Alec Baldwin, sends over William H. Macy.
Yeah, and I was, honestly, I was afraid that I was the cooler when I joined the table. Nothing was stopping this dude. Nothing was stopping.
Not even you.
Not even me. So my $200 turned into a really good profit. And when he crapped out, the entire table left.
Like, well, that happened.
We were all like, you can color us up. We're leaving.
Man.
So I'm standing in front of the guy that was rolling. He's on one end of the table. His wife's on the other end of the table. They're doing really well. And they said, well, how'd you end up? I was like, man, I appreciate you so much. This is great. Learned a lot. Made a lot of money. It was good. So I told him what I was walking with. And I was like, how much are you walking with? How much? Because you were there a lot longer than me. $6,400 for the husband. $3,900 for the wife.
Oh, that's lovely.
They spent 40 minutes at the table.
That's unbelievable.
It was joy.
That's pretty awesome.
Now, I don't know if I'll have another run like that if we go back, but for the 2 days that I gambled at Circa and at the D, that's what went on.
That is tremendous.
Anyway,
well, we're
back
to
football.
We're gonna have some gambling times when we get to Vegas. That's gonna be fun as hell. If we can pull you away from the strip where you'll be sniffing everything.
I'll be sniffing to get Max Crosby in a Bears uniform.
I mean,
or in someone else's uniform.
That's not what you said. You'd be sniffing around Vegas,
yeah,
like everywhere.
Yeah,
where's Lawrence?
To get Max Crosby. That's the whole point. But to speak to that, let's go back to Hard Knocks for a second.
Okay.
Because it was one of those moments where Ryan Poles could have made a move that a lot of people would have said, man, that's a solidifying move for a GM that thinks that his team is a playoff team.
Especially at that time, because there was no idea who the other edge rusher was going to be on the other side. They didn't draft one. Oh, they got Austin Booker late, obviously, and we were all starting to get a little drunk on Austin Booker, but this is when Matthew Judon of the Patriots was out there.
Yeah, let's hear what Ryan Poles had to say about, you know, whether or not there would be regret and compensation and how he views this.
So we did a Judon conversation today. Now, he only played 4 games, hit a bicep. So just from an analytics standpoint, kind of where he's at, so just wins at it. He's 50th among defensive ends. To put in perspective, Sweat's 14th. We believe he would help us get better. Just his style. We think having a bicep rather than like a lower body injury, he still would play to the same intensity and explosion as we did before. It does come with risk, though, at 32.
He's got some things working, huh?
Yeah.
Think we'll get it over the finish line?
Poles has met New England's asking price of a third-round pick. But unless Judon agrees to a contract extension with the Bears, Chicago won't make the deal.
Just a few minutes ago, it is Matthew Judon headed to Atlanta for a 2025 third-round pick.
We try to do a really good job creating parameters that make sense for our club and that put our club in a position to be successful now, but also down the road.
I'm tormenting myself, but if you have your own guardrails that we put up to help us stay in the lane, we surely pressed up against them to acquire the player. But when it comes to losing all flexibility, like, you know, I don't think that would be smart, like, even if he has success. Now, if he has 20 sacks or something, yeah, it'll make me sick.
I don't want to get the club stuck in a position where we have a player that's here, we've given up a draft pick, and we haven't had a resolution on a contract.
But, I mean, hey, look at this.
So, I mean, it's interesting. Just by way of context, at this point, Matthew Judon has not really produced. He's got 2 sacks and 4 assists, 14 tackles total. His overall grade at PFF is 51. That's 148th out of 175 edge rushers. Just his pass rush alone, he's ranked 88th out of 175 edge rushers.
And that was Ian Cunningham, who's kind of saying to Ryan Poles, hey, man, this is what we did. We put this stuff in place so that you wouldn't have a lot of regret. Mm-hmm. Stay the course with what it is that we're doing, and we're fine. When I look at the Bears, other than pass rush, and Jarvon Dexter's been pretty good, I think the moves they made at the end of camp were decent enough moves.
Daryl Taylor is a legit speed threat off the edge, especially if the matchup is right and they're worried about Tez and Dexter and everybody else.
I look at the Bears, and the thing that I want for them probably isn't available in a trade market. What I would want is a better left tackle, but you usually aren't trading for that. Like, that's a hard thing to trade for.
Hmm.
So
and how is it to, like, incorporate a tackle in the middle of your football season? Football trades are so weird, man.
With a new quarterback,
with a new quarterback, and so and obviously new line mates and everything. It's just such an odd thing. We're so used to baseball trade conversations, which are so plug and play in terms of the players. Like, oh, we'll put him there, and he knows what to do, and big bang boom. Or even NBA trade conversations where it's a pickup style game, and they can figure it out. I mean,
and you usually have time.
Yeah, you usually have some time, and there's so few players out there. You're just kind of, you know, learning from it. An NFL thing, man. It's like, hey, it's just such a weird thing, especially at a position like tackle.
Yeah. So for me, it's strange to say this because I don't know if I think looking at anything other than their record, I don't know if I think the Bears are necessarily like a contender yet, but I feel like they've got enough to prove that out one way or the other. I'm okay if they let it ride. Like, I'm not going to be like, they should have done something to the trade line. I think, like, let's see how this goes, and maybe the quarterback can lift you over any of your problems.
Let's hear what Brad Biggs had to tell Mully and Hoff.
We actually don't have time for that. Oh, you know why?
What?
There's an update to the schedule. Joe Cowley is going to tell us about last night.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, you know, for a while, he was Mr. White Sox, too.
Yeah, oh, dude, Joe Cowley is great radio always. Yeah, all the White Sox stuff, he was there last night with Lonzo Ball, and where is he on his love-hate-hate-love relationship with Justin Fields and the Steelers as well?
We can ask him all those things next on The Score.